Hey there, Kwajo here, and I understand that running your own Facebook ads can be quite complicated and intimidating, and yet at this point, you're not ready to hire out Facebook ad management. So, if this is you, I can teach you how to run your own Facebook ads, one-on-one, unlimited support over the next 28 days. We will have three Zoom calls, and in between those calls, you get all the support and all my strategies. I will audit your graphics, your ad copy, make sure that you're set up the way that's working best for my clients. We'll take care of all the analytics. I will coach you step by step how to troubleshoot ads, how to know when to scale, and how to read all the signs so that you're equipped to run successful lead magnet campaigns and profitable sales campaigns and registration campaigns for your launch or what have you. If you need this kind of support from me right now, then click the link in the show notes below. It's the art of online business forward slash call. I've been doing this all along, but now the offer is just focused on helping you run your successful ad campaign within the next 28 days, and the next five people get a pretty nice discount. All right, the link is in the show notes below. Back to the episode.
The key to growing a business that you're proud of is persistence, right? And testing to see what works and what doesn't along the way. Well, persistence and testing is exactly what describes my guest today here on the show. His name is Charlie Liu. Charlie runs a jiu-jitsu training site at jiu-jitsu.com. And this is a side hustle for him. During the day, he does direct mail marketing for one of the largest direct mailers out there. I met Charlie after my talk at Social Media Marketing World back in February. And I had just finished my talk and he came up to the stage and shared with me that in 2017, he'd spent around $10,000 to $12,000 on Facebook ads and he did $500,000 in revenue as a result. And he attributed much of his ad success to what he learns here on AOPT, as well as my good friend Amy Porterfield's show, Online Marketing Made Easy. So of course, had to have him on the show here, right? So he could share with you exactly how he's growing his business with Facebook ads. Let's jump into it.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mole ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. This is episode number 185, and I'm your host, Rick Mulready, and I'm here to simplify online marketing strategies for you so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business. How's it going, my friends? Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate it. Hope you're having an awesome day, whatever you're up to today. Hey, before we get into things here, I just got to let you know, I read this book recently. It's called The Go-Giver. You probably have heard of it. It's by Bob Berg and John David Mann. I'm holding it here in my hand. And I've had it for about it's like a year and a half now. Somebody referred it to me. So I bought it, sat on my shelf in my office here for about a year and a half. And then finally last week, as I'm recording this, it came up in, I don't know when it was. It came up like an Instagram post on a buddy of mine or it came up in a conversation. It came up like twice in 2 days. So I was like, all right, you know what? Probably a sign for me to go check this book out. And it's only like 122 pages. And I just devoured it on a Saturday afternoon last week. And it's so good, guys. You got to check it out if you've not yet read it. It's called The Go-Giver, a little story about a powerful business idea. And it's really, really good. So just had to mention that to you guys here today before we dive into things here. So without further ado, my guest today is Charlie Liu. And as I mentioned earlier, he runs a website called jiu-jitsu.com, which is all about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. In case you don't know what Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is, by the way, this is a martial art that focuses on grappling and ground fighting. And it's a huge part of the UFC, what a lot of the UFC fighters do in the ring, for example. So in 2017, Charlie spent between $10,000 and $12,000 on Facebook ads. And he did, as a result, $500,000 in revenue on that 10 to 12K spend on Facebook ads. So this interview you're about to hear with Charlie has the feel of my sitting down with him for coffee. And I'm just kind of peppering him with questions and learning about his business and how he's marketing it with Facebook and Instagram ads. And I want to invite you right now to sit down with us, quote unquote, figuratively, of course. Maybe you're out walking the dog or on the treadmill. Don't sit down. So I want to invite you to come along on, and sit down with that conversation or for that conversation with Charlie. So on the show today, we talk about how Charlie started Digitsu.com 7 years ago selling instructional DVDs. And then after a couple of years of being in business, then he started dabbling with Facebook ads. And that was about 5 years ago. But it wasn't really until they were doing about $100,000 in annual sales before he got serious with their Facebook ads. And that was just about a year and a half ago. So he hasn't been really serious about his ads for very long. Charlie shares what the big light bulb moment was for him when it came to Facebook ads and how he leveraged this concept that was a big catalyst all of a sudden to get bigger and better results. So he dives into that here for you today. We also talk about how he's using what he knows about his lifetime customer value to reach a wider, more qualified audience on Facebook. We dive into his complete Facebook video ad sales funnel towards the end of the conversation here today, and a whole lot more. Now, if you're looking for hands-on help with your Facebook ads, then I want to invite you to join my team and me for my FBA live event here in San Diego this coming May, May 17th, 18th, and 19th. Now, FBA Live, this is my live implementation workshop that I do twice a year, and we'll be actually working on your Facebook ad campaigns together, in addition to having conversations around Facebook ad strategy, online marketing strategy, and areas for improving your Facebook ad campaigns. I also have some amazing guest speakers come in to speak with you over those couple of days. Facebook ads are always changing, right? And my goal is to have you walking away from that event with things set up the right way and improvements made while you're there at the workshop so that my team and I can have the biggest impact on working with you, okay? What I do with this event is I limit the number of spots to just 50 people so that we can have the biggest impact on you and working on your campaigns and in your campaigns right then and there during the event. These workshops will always fill up. So to learn more and reserve your spot, go to rickmulready.com/FBA live. I love doing these workshops. One of my most favorite thing I do in the business, hanging out with you for a few days and really moving your Facebook ads and business forward. Again, that URL to learn more and to reserve one of those spots for May's FBA live event is rickmulready.com/FBA live. I can't wait to see you here in San Diego in May. Well, let's jump into it, shall we, my friends? Let's go hang out with Charlie Liu. Charlie, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Hey, how's it going, Rick? I'm doing well. I'm super excited to be here on talking with you.
Yeah, man. I'm really glad to have you here. So we met, just a quick background. You came up to me at the end of my presentation at Social Media Marketing World. And one of the first things that you led with, you told me that you'd spent around $10,000, $12,000 on Facebook ads and in turn did about $500,000 in revenue for your online business. I want to, in your words, hear about what your business is and what your background and stuff is, but you have an online jiu-jitsu school. So you teach jiu-jitsu online with instructional videos and courses and stuff like that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The website is digitsu.com, but from like a really high level standpoint, you have to think about Digitsu as not as a e-commerce store where we sell instructionals. Uh-huh. I like to think that Digitsu is more of a platform than anything else. A platform where we're able to deliver instructional videos from various different instructors and their take on how to do certain things related to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. The reason why I call it a platform rather mm-hmm. than just an e-commerce site is okay. because while Digitsu, yes, has a site, but we also have two mobile apps, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, and you can access all of your content with one integrated login.
Oh, okay. So just to be clear, you're saying Digitsu, right? Digitsu. Yeah.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay. So Digitsu is this platform here. I talked to my team coming into this interview with you, and I said, you know what? I remember what we talked about after the presentation. I remember being super, super impressed with what you've been doing. And I told my team this morning, I said, I'm really excited to learn more about what everything you've got going on here. And you got two apps, Apple TV, Amazon Fire. You got the online platform. This is amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a long journey per se, but definitely a lot of bumps along the road. But I think we're in a good place right now because, like I was telling you at Social Media World, that it's like your podcast and Amy Porterfield's podcast is really, really like present some great, great thought out, laid out information from you and from experts in the field. And I just took pretty much these learnings and just applied it to my company.
I love it. So what is what's your background and what led you to doing this business?
Okay, I guess I should take a step back too with some of this stuff. My background, I want to say I have a kind of a, let's just say if someone were to go into what we did with Digitsu, I would have an unfair advantage because I come from a marketing background. I started out in media planning for Procter & Gamble and all some really large brands from a traditional marketing side. Cool. And then I dabbled in data mining, IS data mining.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean you dabbled in it? Tell me more about that.
I dabbled in it because I needed a job to pay for my MBA.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I'm pretty good at computers. I know how to use Access. I know how to use Excel very, very well. And I was like, okay, all right then. Let me see if I can do this. So then I was able to land a job at one of the universities up here in the financial aid program. And I was able to understand more and more about data mining and then correlation, data point correlation.
Okay. But that sounds cool.
And then right now I'm working in direct mail. So direct mail, even though it's the foundation of what the digital marketing is all about, I really still kind of, I can take what I'm learning or I'm applying here at my regular profession in Digitsu.
Okay, so your day job is like direct to mail, like direct. Is
yes.
It, what? Tell me a little bit more about that.
I work for one of the top direct mail companies in the United States.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'll give them a shout out. It's Publishers Clearinghouse.
Okay. So you're in the direct mail group or department or whatever there at Publishers Clearinghouse.
Yes, that's correct.
Got it. Okay. And so Digitsu is kind of a side gig for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Quite a successful side gig.
I know. It's unfortunately, I live in New York, so it's good.
Okay.
Not successful enough yet.
Okay. So how long have you been doing Digitsu? Like, and sort of tell us about how you kind of started that on the side.
Okay. Well, Digitsu was originally founded by three partners and now it's two. And essentially we had the passion for Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So mm-hmm. We were like, okay, let's see if we can, we first started out with a blog. That blog was taking up a lot of our time and also a lot of our money. Because at that time, this is like about 10 years ago, we didn't really understand the monetization, online monetization and things like that. We went out there just to spread the love of the sport. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, okay, we can't continue. We can't sustain this as long as we do because there's just too much time involved. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, let's just figure out a different avenue where we can make some money. And then Digitsu came about. Like I said, that was about 10 years ago. Digitsu was formulated about 7 years ago. 7 years ago, we were focusing on just physical DVDs. That was prior to when the cost of streaming, the cost of data storage was relatively high mm-hmm. for at least small businesses. And now as we've grown into more in the last couple of years, 5 years, we've grown into more, we moved our business more towards online streaming and online downloads because of the fact that cost has gone down. Amazon has really, really stepped up in that field. Yeah. So that was the last 5 years. And then within the last 5 years, I was just dabbling with Facebook advertising. At that point, it was more like demo-based, interest-based ad sets, ad set formations. That's what I guess, quote unquote, the early days of Facebook advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, when we talked at social media world, it was just like probably the last 2 years, a year and a half is when I really, you know, I started listening to your podcast and really got into Power Editor. I miss Power Editor, by the way.
It's still pretty much there. It's still pretty much there.
Yeah. Yeah. Ads manager, things like that. I'm really discovering the power of custom audiences. That when you talk about custom audiences and using the Facebook Pixel and some of the podcasts that I listened to, it was just like mind-blowing. I was like, this is amazing. You know, being able to connect your offer to specific people who've interacted with your site, with your Facebook, with your now with your Instagram, with your videos, that was like unbelievable.
Thing that really, really made things shift for you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The warm one. Now we're no longer, we still are, but we're no longer chasing cold audiences. It's all about the warm audience, the hot, another one I call it the hot audience, the previous just buyers, things like that. That's amazing.
So what were you doing? I'm taking some notes here. So you got serious with Facebook ads over the last year and a half to 2 years.
Yes.
But you've been doing Digitsu for the previous few years before that. And you said that you started out selling DVDs. Was that like an affiliate type of thing that you were selling other people's DVDs on your platform?
Oh, no. We're producing DVDs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So that's earlier.
You guys were selling your own DVDs and then it's kind of evolved. And is everything that you're doing right now your own stuff? Or because you mentioned before it's a platform. Is it your own stuff or is it a bunch of different, you mentioned before jiu-jitsu teachers and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's an 80-20 split of our own stuff and third party contents.
Okay.
So yeah.
Cool. And then if you're going primarily all, well, actually before I ask that question, what were you doing the previous few years with Facebook ads? Because you said you were dabbling with Facebook ads for about 5 years, but then just didn't get serious with it until the last year and a half, 2 years. So let's just say that 3 year window when you were dabbling there, what were you doing at that point?
Just putting ads out there, just like maybe, I don't know, once a quarter to promote a launch. And again, it was just demo based and interest, like really, really rudimentary interest based ad sets where we just went out for cold audiences.
Got it. Okay. So people who are interested in jiu-jitsu or the Gracies or whatever, just sort of that very like high level targeting at that point.
Exactly.
Got
exactly.
It. And what were you guys launching?
Just various DVDs from.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And exactly. Were you guys doing like promotions and stuff for those launches or because I'm assuming that the DVDs were available all the time. Were you just kind of running like quarterly promotions and stuff?
That's exactly it. That's
gotcha.
Exactly it. We essentially when I talk about interest based marketing, interest based targeting within the ad sets. One of your taglines is always like always test and test and test.
Yep.
So we tested our even though again it's still at that quote unquote dark periods for Digitsu, we still were able to understand the importance of testing. So we tested against interest-based testing. Like we would create an ad set based off of publications. We would then test it against, you know, different jiu-jitsu clubs. And then we would test it against interest of different jiu-jitsu brands, gi brands and things like that, like apparel brands.
Okay.
So that, even though it was rudimentary, we still had some sort of understanding of the testing and the value of testing.
Got it. Okay. And things were working fairly well for you at that point?
It was okay. Like I said, it was like, you know, we had 100,000 sales, you know, on an annual basis prior to really exploding with the Facebook, the advanced Facebook audiences. But yeah,
okay.
It was okay. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, it's, I guess, a caveat I have to say is that even though we're talking a lot about Facebook advertising at this point right now, it's also like a media mix, if you will, a marketing mix of emails, Facebook ads, sponsorships, and outside advertising of, like, at that point, publications, you know, buying ads and publications. So,
yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. So you were doing, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You're doing a real targeted buy in some of these, like, jiu-jitsu publications and stuff like that. Is that
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. How big is your email list at this point? Do you remember?
At that point, it was, like, I want to say
15,000? Okay.
Yeah.
So pretty good size at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is like, this is say 3 years ago, roughly three or so years ago.
Yeah. About 3 years ago.
Okay. So you guys are doing about 100K in sales, email list size, 15 to 20K. You're doing email marketing, Facebook ads. You're doing some sponsorships of other publications and stuff like that. What was sort of that shift that happened? And actually, before I ask that question, when you were doing these Facebook ads and you had that high level sort of interest targeting that you guys were doing, was it straight to purchase? Because I'm assuming these DVDs at that time, they weren't very expensive.
Yeah, we're all straight to purchase.
Everything straight
to
purchase.
Straight to purchase.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Exactly. Cool. It would go into right into a let's just like a landing page, not as big splash page, but it's just like a regular landing page where there's an add to cart to it. Nothing huge.
Got it. Okay. And so how are you building the email list to get to 15 to 20,000 if you were sending, you know, your advertising directly to purchase or are all those customers at that point?
I'm trying to think, 'cause it was a while ago, 15,000. It was just our targeted ads on Facebook, I guess, you know, it was, we were just slowly growing.
Was that 15 to 20,000? I guess what I'm trying to figure out here is where you, if you're just sending your ads directly to purchase, how are you building your email list at that point? Because I'm assuming from what it sounds like, you weren't sending people from like ad to, you know, like opt-in page saying, hey, to get this discount or to get this special promotion, you know, opt in here.
I understand what you're saying is, okay. So we have a Facebook page. It's Jiu-Jitsu Online on Facebook, and we would post our articles, just organically post our articles, and we would link them to our blog page. And our blog page is an automatic, there's an automatic opt-in box. That's pretty much how we got to where we were at that point.
Gotcha. Okay, so you did that organically, it sounds like.
Yeah. Jiu-Jitsu is a very niched
markets. Yeah.
And it's very, very community based.
Yes.
So one of the things that differentiates us from our competitors is that we are super, super engaged with our audience through Facebook and through Instagram. Granted, you know, we don't necessarily post every day or follow the rules or the quote unquote guidelines of having good engagement on our page per se, but we are super engaged with everyone.
Interesting. Yeah, that is a very engaged community.
Like, yes.
I mean, I'm a big UFC fan, and I mean, I've never done jiu-jitsu, but I get it. I understand it. You know, it took me a little bit. And so, but even with that limited sort of knowledge and being a fan, I get how this is a very engaged and fanatical community of people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The passion is there.
I love it. So, okay. Yeah. So then you started to get serious. And what was sort of that transition? You were doing the hot, you know, you're doing the cold, you know, the cold audiences, the interest targeting and so forth a few years ago. And then you started to get serious and started to learn a little bit more about Facebook ads. Talk about that transition from that sort of dabbling and stuff into where you got more serious.
It's that Facebook pixel. That is key.
So you learned about the pixel. You weren't using the pixel before.
Yeah.
And then you learned about the pixel and you're like, okay, I gotta learn more about this and figure out how I can use it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That thing is key. That key left pixel is a tremendous, tremendous tool. Everyone who I talk to who's starting a business or, you know, wanting to start a business and have their own website or looking to develop a website, I'm like, get yourself a business account. Make sure you get Facebook pixels on there.
Yeah.
Because that's tremendously important. Yeah. So based off of the pixel, I was able to, create custom audiences. And I was talking to Skylar before, given that I have like a very analytical background, I was telling her about lifetime value. The lifetime value is something that's new to Facebook.
Yeah.
I started doing that like maybe like a year ago.
Oh, really? Okay. So I want to talk about that. What was the first thing, though, once the sort of the light bulb moment there with like, okay, holy cow, I can do a lot with this Pixel. Let's just say a year and a half, 2 years ago. What was the first thing that you started to do with the Pixel once you learned what you could do with it? What were some of the first things that you set up with it?
So the first thing I set up, let's see. The first thing I set up was an ad based off of a product, a landing page, using that as a retargeting tool, creating. Yeah.
Got it. Meaning like people who landed on the page but didn't purchase, or people who actually purchased and then you were like cross-selling them?
I was cross-selling. Nice. I essentially took our email list and then I just uploaded and created a custom audience. However, Facebook linked the two, their accounts up. Mm-hmm. They did. And that's how I kept on cross-selling people.
Gotcha. So you had segmented lists of like people who bought certain things. You uploaded those into Facebook and you're like, okay, now I'm going to cross, because it's a complimentary product or a video or whatever, some sort of lesson or something like that. It's a complimentary product or service that you can offer to them based on what they bought.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now, that's still pretty basic at that point, right? I mean, and it's still pretty basic today as far as just uploading the email list. How did you start to now talk about, and so you started to see some sales from that, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah. 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 I started seeing quite a lot of sales from it. So based off of that, what we ended up doing was we did the traditional, the pretty much fundamental, you know, create a lead gen, get it out there, get people to sign up, and then just continuously retarget them based off of a branding, not particularly one particular product, but, you know, a series of products, you know, a couple of products, and see where they land, how, and what their purchasing cycle is and what their interests are.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure I'm clear, because I think that's really, really smart. What it sounds like you're doing there is once you notice like, hey, we're onto something here as far as email custom audiences, I can upload email lists, I can cross sell them, I can get them into specific products based on what they're interested in. So from there, after you did what you just mentioned there, where you're like, all right, we have these buyers and now we're going to cross sell them. Am I understanding correctly that at that point you're like, all right, we need to build our email list even more. So you created some sort of lead magnet or something to get them on your email list. Then you're retargeting those people on your email list with different products.
Got it.
Okay.
Yes.
What were you doing for a lead magnet?
So we essentially just gave out free, like a free 2-hour instructional video from different instructors. Yeah. I don't think it was 2 hours. I think it could have been like an hour and a half or something, but it was substantial.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of lead magnets is like, you know, in most fields it's like a PDF, a one sheeter that's pertinent to their interest.
Yep.
But like in our case, we're like, all right, you know what? Let's give them something that they'll like blow their socks off right away and let them interact with our platform. You know,
you over-delivered on it.
Yeah, pretty much. And since I guess now we are at 45,000 in our email list.
Yeah. 45,000 now. Nice.
Yeah, 45
so
you, now. Yeah.
So you've at more than 2x it. So almost 3x your email list.
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome.
Pretty much.
Now, how are you using the Pixel now and how has that evolved? Because with your email list, you know, you obviously can retarget them from a custom audience perspective, but are you using the Pixel from, you know, you mentioned like, the examples that you used before were based on like engagement. So like you can build people, you build audience of people who are engaging with your Instagram account or your Facebook page or the videos that you're putting up there. Is that primarily how you're using retargeting, or are you also doing that stuff with like specific, like, you know, a cart, like cart abandonment and that sort of thing?
Well, okay. I'll address cart abandonment right now. Cause it's you just said something and it's kind of like, you know, like pop something in my head. Cart abandonment is a big challenge for me right now because of the fact that it's like I can get them to fire off in the shopping cart, right? That Pixel fires off if they visit the shopping cart URL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can also then theoretically, I can send the an ad, but if they didn't purchase, only to the time they didn't purchase. Okay. I want to be able to target someone who didn't purchase this particular product. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to exclude those who landed on the successful checkout.
Correct.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
But then my question becomes, it's like, well, okay, if I'm targeting one person and this person's a previous buyer of a different title, they theoretically would have landed on the successful checkout page, right? So if they didn't buy, if they bought product X and I'm offering product Y,
yep,
they would be excluded from this group. So that's why I'm a little hesitant.
Oh, because you have, because you have one thank you page, essentially, is what you're saying.
That's correct.
For all your different.
Yes.
Yeah. So there is a way to do that. And there, it's going to take some, I think, some custom coding on the back end from a pixel perspective. Yeah, there's going to be, because it's like dynamic tracking at that point. And I would have to look at into that on my end as well. But I understand what you're saying. So guys, everybody listening, just to recap, what Charlie's saying here is that, so if somebody lands on, if somebody's bought product X and he wants to sell them product Y, as it, because it's a complementary product, he wants to be able to retarget people who've land on the product Y sales page but don't actually purchase, because he's excluding the people who land on the thank you page. But it's the same thank you page throughout all of his products. So he doesn't want to necessarily exclude those people, because you are excluding people who from previous products they've already gotten there. So exactly. It's not a true audience.
Right, you're really limiting your yep. custom audience at,
gotcha.
At that point.
Gotcha. Well, so, I mean, I like the way that you're thinking that. I like the way that you're thinking about that, knowing that, you know what, that's a huge opportunity for me to do, to figure out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
The other thing that you're talking
yeah, with the engagement audiences.
Engagements and something different, what I'm doing now mm-hmm. is I'm taking, so I have access to all the back-end information of previous purchases, buys, and the value of a particular customer. So mm-hmm. granted, so I have the email lists on that. So what I ended up doing was, this is what I was telling you about Skylar, is that I essentially took my top 75th percentile group of people, mm-hmm. uploaded that list, that customer list into Facebook, and then created a lookalike audience off of that.
Based off your lifetime value.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I the very, very top of the top echelon of my list, I create a lookalike audience off of that.
Yep.
Based off of that, I created a lookalike audience, and then I overlaid it with Google Analytics location information. So like different countries, you know, where we get the most traffic from, where we have the highest conversion rates from, the lowest bounce rates, so forth and so on. And then I overlaid that into the audience. So to really bring that lookalike audience down a little.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So just to kind of, again, just to kind of further explain, just to make sure everyone understands what you're doing here. You've identified the top 25% of your customers from a lifetime value perspective. You upload that list into Facebook, which you can do with lifetime value, and then you create a lookalike audience of that list. So it's finding people who are most similar to, or with similar attributes to the people who are your top 25% in the top 25% of your lifetime value. So, I mean, conceivably what we're trying to do here is Facebook is matching, finding the people who are most valuable to the business, because this is your highest percentage of lifetime value. But then Charlie's taking it a step further here, which I love, and you're using the information from your buyers that you're getting out of Google Analytics, and then saying, okay, I'm going to target this lookalike audience of my, with the lifetime value, but I'm only going to do these, what did you say, countries or states?
Countries.
Okay.
Like 25 countries.
Gotcha. So then you're going to be layering in the countries as you create this audience, because you have this information from your Google Analytics and you're tracking everything like that. Super yes. smart. How's that working for you?
It's working well. You know, it's we're getting a lot of reach and engagement, a lot of video views. The conversions are still not as good as our warm audiences. The way I'm looking at it, I'm justifying this ad spend is like, well, you know, this is essentially, you know, branding.
Yeah. And you're getting data. You're getting data exactly. to find out what's working. Now, I noticed you said you're doing video there with them. Is that right?
Yes.
So are you building engagement audiences of people watching the videos?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, cause then you could turn around and retarget them again. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. That was one of my questions, is what types of, I mean, I would think that, you know, in this sort of niche here with jiu-jitsu, I would think that video would do extremely well. Is that primarily what you guys are running or what?
Yes, that's where most of our ad dollars go towards, goes toward video views. This is how we do this. We start off with a video view to build a custom audience, mm-hmm. just to build that custom audience. And on our next step, and we really don't even talk about the offer. We rarely even put in like the shop now button. If we do use a button, it will be the learn more button. Mm-hmm. So that creates our audience. That's now we'll run that for like a week, 2 weeks prior to actually giving them that hitting them up with an offer, so that we have a nice substantial audience of people that's already seen the ad. Yep. And then the next step would be, okay, here is an offer.
Got it.
And then we dwindle that down. And then the third step would be, you know, okay, act on this offer now or else, you know, it's going to go away.
Gotcha. So it's a scarcity ad at that point.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Usually what we do when we launch a product is we give an X percentage off.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And so when you retarget, is the retarget one and then the, you know, the deadline, hey, this is the promotion's going away. Are those both video ads again?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So the first video ad is just to say, I'm just going to, this is going to make up a number at this point, 3 minutes long.
Sure.
Okay. The second video ad would be like 1 minute long with a billboard at the end, say, if you like more, go to digitsu.com to order today. Embedded within the ad. So that it's like the way that people sometimes consume information, whether they read it or they just watch that video ad through, mm-hmm. they'll still see it. So essentially the second video is a different technique that we kind of stop right in the middle. And that I've noticed that has gotten us more conversions, more purchases than anything else.
So you're actually, that was one of my questions is, so you're actually teaching something or doing a demonstration of something in the video,
yes.
but then you're stopping and saying, hey, for more, visit digitsu.com.
Yes, exactly.
Got it. Okay. In all your videos, in that first video, for example, the video views one, is that a lesson in it of itself as well? Is that another, you're teaching something or is that more talking head or what is that?
No, it's a lesson. It's a lesson within from the instructional.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And are you, a lot of people overthink the video when they're like, you know what, I can't do video because I don't have a big budget for a production crew or anything like that, or lighting and all that stuff. Like, how are you guys shooting the videos?
We have a in-house studio.
Okay.
So that's why I kind of had a chuckle, because it's like, well, yes, because a lot of people that are first starting out, especially, you know, a lot of your listeners, you talk about tech, some like easy, ready to go technology.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, on our end, not so much.
You have a studio in like with a mat and stuff like that, I'm assuming.
Yes, we have a soundproof studio. Well, sound resistance is there's still seepage in the door sometimes. Mm-hmm. A sound reduced studio. We have studio lights. The lighting is right in your face. People go blind. we use, I don't want to get into too in depth with this,
sure.
because it's people will get scared off. We use a Canon C100 cinema level camera, essentially what they use to shoot major motion pictures.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing it right.
Yeah.
No, I say doing it right. I mean that kind of jokingly, like you went high tech with this.
Yes, exactly.
You don't necessarily need to do that. You guys have chosen to do that, which I think is totally cool. Obviously it's working for you. I think something as simple as like, if, you know, if you're in this sort of niche, right, like you could be in, what do you call it? Like, is it a studio? Would it be like a jiu-jitsu studio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're like, you know, if you're not going this high tech as far as the setup goes, and I really had no idea what you're doing, which is why I wanted to know. I was curious. I actually didn't think you were going to say that, but I love that you did say that, that you go high tech. But like, I just picked up I have an iPhone 8 Plus. Amazing video, amazing camera on it. So you could use this on like, I mean, even if it's handheld or a tripod, just make sure the lighting is good. And away you go, you know, like that. You don't necessarily have to go high tech, but I think
absolutely.
It sounds like there's something that one thing that might be separating you from out, you know, from other people in the niche there that you've built this studio and this is how you're doing your lessons.
Oh, absolutely. If people were just to start out, I would just tell them, you know, your camera phone at 4K is tremendous.
Yeah.
Your iPhone is like at 4K is tremendous. You know, just make sure you have good lighting.
Yep.
And make sure your audio quality is good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And, but the other thing too, I mean, with this is your platform though. Like your platform is based on video and
yes.
lessons and teaching. So it makes sense that you guys would have a studio like this in place. Are yeah. people buying, like, is it memberships or is it, are they buying like one off instructional videos or lessons, or is it what's the sort of the monetization value here?
They're one off.
Okay.
They're one off videos that they can essentially carry them for the rest of their life.
Got it. Okay. And then you said you have Apple TV and mobile apps and stuff like that. Are they all driving back to the site, or are people able to buy and purchase through those channels as well?
Okay. So the iOS allows us to do a lot of things, a little more so than Android, because I want my program, my business partner, he prefers to work in the iOS because it's more secure. Essentially what it is that we have in-app purchases. You're able to buy those one-off, these one instructionals through the iOS app mm-hmm. itself. Okay. But we encourage people. So when we run our ads, when we market, we encourage people to go to Djitsu.com rather than the iOS in-app purchase, because if someone goes through our in-app purchase, you know, Apple takes the 30%, but if they go through us, we have the back-end integration, and with that one login, it's like, okay, we get the full sales off of it.
Sure. Yeah. You don't have to share any revenue.
Yeah, exactly. Now Apple's going to come after me now.
Well, I mean, no, it makes sense. But what I'm hearing is, I don't know if I'm just incorrect here, but it sounds like you're not running like app install ads. So you're not running ads to get people to download the app, but where you're driving most of your traffic, it sounds like, is the online platform.
So I should have been a little clearer. There's a two-prong approach. Okay. Uh-huh. The one approach is we want to get the Djitsu in front of the platform in front of as many people as possible. So, okay. Most of the time, our demo target audience is 18 to 44. So 18 to 44 consume media a little differently than 25 to 54, even though there's a little overlap over there. Mm-hmm. Most of these people consume on their iPhone, on their telephone or mobile device. So that lead gen that we were talking about before, we create lead gen ads that's directed to a iOS platform or directed to an Android platform to just get them to download. Then from there, they're on our mailing list, you know, because they have to create an account and so forth and so on order to receive.
Gotcha. Okay. It's starting off with from an app perspective.
Yes.
You're trying to get them into the app. You're building your email list that way. Got it. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Then we start really, really giving them our offers via Facebook, via Instagram ads,
sure.
via email lists. So, yeah.
Got it. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. So you're not running ad to download the app. And again, correct me if I'm wrong here, if I'm understanding this incorrectly. You're running the ad to get them to opt in, to build the email list, to get that free lesson there. You said, you know, what, 60, 90 minutes, 2 hours, whatever,
right.
to get that. But then from there, the next step is to get them into the app. And at that point, you know, you're eventually at some point driving them back to the platform and stuff like that. Is that right?
Yeah. 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 Because at checkout, you know, at checkout that we also, there's a message that's like, oh, thank you for buying X product. Okay. In this case, it would be that our free lead gen. And we would send them a message. Oh, by the way, here's a link. If you want to be able to access this instructional on your phone, on your iOS device, here's a link to it. And then they can go directly from there to just download it.
Got
right
it.
There.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm really curious how you thought about this stuff. Like how did you come up with the strategy here? I think it's really smart. And I think this is one of those things that a lot of people don't want to do. They don't want to take the time to think through. They just want, you know, they're just like, well, this is what I want to do. And I'm just going to try this one method because I think this is, but they don't really think everything through. So what did that look like for you as you came up with this strategy? I'm just curious what that process looked like.
Oh, it was definitely like a maze.
And this is where that testing comes in, right?
Like you're, yes, you're, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Testing everything out, you know, with the different audiences. But we knew that, you know, Jiu-Jitsu had its fans, and we knew that, you know, our fans will be loyal to us because of the fact that we make them feel like they're part of a community. Again, going back to how Jiu-Jitsu is a community, we extend that mindset of community on Jiu-Jitsu on our platform. And we took that and just, you know, it's like, okay, so how do we scale up? What do we have to do? Okay, we have to give them free stuff. Okay, no problem. You know, all of our stuff, the stuff that we give out is free to us too, because of the fact it's digital streaming, digital on the, so we don't have to invest any money into giving out DVDs or giving out product per se, physical product, but we can give them digital product, which really doesn't cost us anything. So that's how essentially that was our first step into really scaling up.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I love it. And I think the big lesson there too is that this is not something that happens overnight. I mean, this is a this is a progression. This takes time. This takes, you know, there's an evolution going on here. You're testing a bunch of different things to find out what works, but really thinking, I love the metaphor you used earlier. It's like a maze or analogy. Use a maze. It's like a maze. Like, how do we get, you know, how do we get somebody from point A to point B? But along the way there, you're figuring that out. You're figuring out which directions to test out and to see what works.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the other things is that, you know, we are not a one-off instructional, you know, it's like, okay, all right, what's the next hot thing in the jiu-jitsu market? You know, what's the next hot technique? We actually, again, we make sure that we build a community, we brand everything. You know, I was just over the weekend, I was listening to your podcast with Mike Jackness for e-commerce. And that's exactly what, you know, jiu-jitsu is all about, building community and sticking with behind your brand and not tarnishing the brand by offering these one-offs, these like one and done stuff.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, I'm definitely going to go check this out because I want to see firsthand experience what you're doing and get retargeted and stuff like that. So I'm definitely going to go check it out. Charlie, this has been amazing. I really appreciate you taking us through just sort of the evolution of the business and how far you've come and what you're doing now. I think it's really smart. I get the sense, even though you've been doing this a while, that you guys are just getting started with this stuff. And if you keep going the way that you are, this hockey stick growth that you've seen over the past couple of years, or even here, this past 15 months, or so, is only going to continue. So congrats on all the success. And by the way, I want to acknowledge you for implementing and taking action on what you learn. Like, that is music to my ears. You know, like, I love it when people say, you know, I love your podcast. I want to hear what you're doing with the information that you're learning, because that is why, you know, I do this sort of thing. And so kudos to you. And I want to acknowledge you for doing that. So really, really good stuff. I do want to make sure, Charlie, that people can connect with you. So what is the best way? What's the best place that they can do that?
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, it would be facebook.com Jiu-Jitsu Online. That's I'm on that platform the most out of the other platforms. Like, you know, we have Jiu-Jitsu Online on Twitter, on YouTube, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But Facebook, if you really, really want to be able to reach me, would be Facebook.
Okay, so facebook.com / Jiu-Jitsu. It's D, and I'll link this up in the show notes, guys. Digitsu Online. Jiu-Jitsu Online. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Got it. I'll link that up for everybody. Charlie, thanks again, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rick.
All right. Hope you got a lot out of today's episode here with Charlie. Before we go, if you would like to support the show and you've not yet left a rating and a review for the show over on iTunes, I would be super grateful if you would take a second to do that. It's a big help for the show. It allows us to reach more people, and it allows me to impact more people and help more people, which is the goal of this show. So if you've not yet left a rating review, only takes a second to do it. Pop over there, leave your honest rating review, and I'll be forever grateful. I'm sending you a virtual high five right now. Thank you in advance for doing that. And thank you again for listening to the show today. I really appreciate it. I've got another awesome episode coming your way in the next episode. So until then, my friends, and as always, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.